Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Welcome back, foodie fans, to another episode of Foodie Films. Of course, I'm your host, Kyle Reinfried, your chef de cinema cuisine. This is the first, you know, official episode of the new year. Got that one on, what was that, January 2nd? Explaining how we've gone bi-weekly, and hopefully soon we'll start posting some video content in the in-between weeks. But before that happens, you know, we've got the bi-weekly audio episodes. So here's that first one, and it's a silly one. And why shouldn't it be? I've got stand-up comedian Stephen Pratt on. Stephen is a great guy, and he had me over to his place in Brooklyn. Nothing like that happened. But, you know, we shared some beers, we shared some laughs, and we talked about a movie that doesn't get many laughs, at least not from us. You know what? Hey, I posted on Twitter the other day, and I got at least like two or three people saying, love this movie, I laugh at it all the time, watch it all the time. So what do I know? I'm dead on the inside. But hey, you know, there's more than just the slammin' salmon. We're talking comedy, we're talking food, we're talking a funny, famous food scene from a Judd Apatow film. Kept it in the comedy realm for this episode. So, without further ado, here we go. So, what's happening, Stephen? Thank you very much for inviting me to your home. And
well, thanks for coming.
Guesting on Foodie Films.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
So, let the foodie fans know a little bit about yourself. I've reached out to you on Twitter, I watched some of your stuff, and you're a funny guy, and so, you know, brought a funny guy on to talk a really funny movie.
it's one of the things I was thinking, like, I was thinking about how much I hate it when people, like, critique jokes. Especially when they go, like, when they're not good. Mm-hmm. Because you got to get, like, to that. So it's so easy to make something that's shitty. So I'm like, there's no way to talk about this movie without consistently shitting on it.
Oh,
and I was just like, so it's going to have to happen. I have to believe this was just, like, a cash grab on there. Like, I don't know. It feels because you said it wasn't in theaters, right?
No. So yeah, we're talking the Slammin' Salmon.
Yeah.
So Slammin' with a you know, no G, just what would that be, apostrophe at the end? And
you're asking the wrong guy about grammar.
Yeah.
Just if you have any punctuation, sports questions, or geography location issues, I'm not your.
You're
guy.
Not the guy.
No, none of that.
But you're the guy for comedy.
Yes,
right?
That would be my domain. Hopefully.
I sure
hope so.
Yeah. So before we start analyzing this film, tell us about your role in comedy. We'll definitely. I mean, we always talk about food. That's a no. Brainer,
yeah, yeah.
But let's talk about comedy for a little bit first. When did you start? What made you want to start?
I think I forget that. I don't remember the first. I want to say it was like 2013 or I think that was when I started.
Okay.
And I'd always wanted to do it. Like I just love stand up. And I had a good friend, Jonathan Tilson, who's another. He's a comic out of Boston right now. And we'd always talked about doing it, but like I just didn't know like how to.
Yeah,
I had no idea, like, where do you, like, start? I just kind of looked at it, like, I don't know. I just thought it was like another, like you were just born into it. That's like, sure. Which is the dumbest way to look. But that's when you're 14 or whatever, 16. That's just kind of like, oh, that's a whole, like Hollywood's a whole other world. And I didn't even realize New York was like the comedy scene at that time. So it's like, but yeah. So we always talked about doing it. He left and moved to for college. He went to the University of Tennessee.
Okay.
So when he got down there, he somehow kind of got into the scene.
Nice.
He moved back, and he was like, "Hey, man, you know, like." There were mics around here, and he just kind of figured out how to do. He was like, just come, you're funny, like, you can figure it out. And then I just did a shitty open mic, and then I just kind of kept doing that from there.
Do you remember where the open mic was?
Yeah, it was Rafferty's Pub in, I want to say, it's either Marshfield or Mansfield. I always forget which one that is, but okay. Yeah. And it was like me, Tilson, and like... I don't know, maybe like four people, the mm-hmm. host and like, and that's counting the host. So it was just like, it was not a lot of people, but it's fine. I mean, it went well. It wasn't like a bad experience. It was just like, okay. And I saw, maybe there were a few more comics than that, but like, it was, I was just like, okay, I'm not total dog shit at this. So I feel like I could, and then, so it was cool. It was mostly a good experience. The first one. Yeah.
That's awesome. When did you move to New York?
I just moved here in August.
Oh, okay.
So I think I'm doing comedy for like a soft 4 years, something like that. I say it soft 4 just because like there were big gaps in my,
sure.
Like, I don't know, I'm trying to, like, I guess I consider when you're getting like getting up like on a rate like every night or something like that, like, or, you know, at least, you know, 4 or 5 times a night, or not a night, but in a week. I went back to paramedic school, so I stopped going that's when I started, but I was only going like, I don't know, once a week then. So it's okay. Like how the first year was like, it's not even like a real year, first year. And then,
yeah. Soft year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but like a soft four, basically.
So you're the guy to go for comedy and like paramedic.
Yeah. No, but if anyone drops in an audience, I'm not going to stop.
You're not?
No,
oh, okay.
I have a strict rule. I'm a professional on stage. I'm not, there's very different
yeah,
roles.
Exactly. The show must go on.
Call 911. Yeah. I'm not.
And that's, you know, it's just popping up in my head. This wasn't something I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a stand-up on and we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
But, like, stand-up is very linked to the world of at least definitely drink. Obviously, there's, you know, some food present and you can riff on that if there's, you know, places known for nachos or wings and people are munching away while you're performing.
Yeah, comedy club cuisine is it's well known for its quality.
Yeah.
And
this is right above strip club,
right? Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Maybe a little below.
Maybe a little.
Yeah. I haven't. I don't think I've ever eaten at a strip club. So,
I have. That's another episode.
No, I think it just became
the
this
spread
episode.
Was lovely. I'm sorry. I'm not the comedian. I'm sorry. That was cheap. But yeah, I mean, drinks. What's your belief? Are you having some drinks when you're at the clubs?
I don't. Clubs or shows or like a lot of like bar shows or like I don't. Maybe after. I don't drink before.
Okay.
I've done like a mic or two. I think one day I went up and it was like my birthday, and I was just fucking around a mic. This was a few years ago, and it just slows me down. Like I can't. You're just kind of like on. Like you can do. Like you get your autopilot stuff. Like when you're just doing your material.
Yeah.
But like I can't dip. Like my reaction time and dipping in the crowd is just it. I don't think it's as good usually. Maybe you get a little if you're like brand new and you're like really nervous about getting up. But like once you get to the point where you're like that's not an issue. I think for me anyway. I know like people like Doug Stanhope say they're better when they're hammered. But I'm absolutely not
hammered or
stoned. It just slows me down. If anything, I'd rather have like a coffee before I go up or something like that. Just kind of like get me jazzed, you know, sort of that little thing. I don't know.
Okay, you just moved here in August.
Yep.
So how are you liking the New York scene? I feel like comedy now is so much more, you know, it's like a culture that people are into. Like, you know, obviously I have a podcast called Foodie Films. People are now much more into food.
Oh, it's
than
so much
they
more, yeah,
to
it's
be.
Much more mainstream. But yeah it's so far New York is like, I mean, it's just there's just so many goddamn comics. I can't believe how many like it's I struggle with learning people's names anyway, and now I meet like I'm like I just met 70 comics tonight, so there's like they're like I, if I remember one person out of like it's yeah. it's and networking here is so goddamn important, so it's like I'm just immediately burning bridges the second time I meet people like you, and then it's just and then it spirals.
Well, at least are you good with faces? I'm good with faces.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good with faces. Like I'll remember if I see you and I liked your joke, I might not remember your name.
Yeah,
but I'll be like, hey, you had the joke about the blah.
Yeah,
and I'll be like, okay, cool. And
I feel like that's better though.
Yeah, but like, if I didn't like your joke, and then I just totally forget you. But yeah,
but I'm usually the hey man kind of person, or like when I'm introducing somebody to somebody that I can't remember their name, I'm just like, hey, you know, like you two get to know one another.
And then it's like this is I'm gonna let you guys do exactly. What's your name? Yeah, just be a bad host. And then,
that's try, what try to get the name that be way. A bad host. Well, let's talk about like just food in general for a little bit. I mean, sure. I mean, obviously everyone likes food, but I mean,
no,
what,
not me, not no. at the set of the table. No, I love that, of course.
tell me about maybe like growing up and like, did you have food often with, did you have sit down dinners? I feel like that's like with your family.
Yeah, we did. We that was definitely our, I think every meal was a. was a sit down. I think it was a mandatory sit down too, which is probably why I don't do it as much now. When I go back, I'm just like, I can't do it. I hate. I don't know. It's so like when you. It's so formal to me. Like so, I get like
sitting
uncomfortable.
Down and...
Yeah, it's like I just like there's so much like pressure to have like a conversation, which is insane since we're literally sitting at a table forcing a conversation right now. But something about it like when it's dinner, like I just don't like it. I really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm weird about that. I don't know why. I don't know.
So the holidays are your favorite time of year.
Time of year. Love them so much. Love them to death. But we had family meals almost. I think almost every night. That was like our thing. But most of the time, I just wanted, especially once I was like, fuck me. I guess in high school or whatever. I got a TV in my room very late.
Yeah.
And like I wasn't one of those kids who had like a fun room. Like it was just, which is probably good for comedy because I just let my imagination. I had to like entertain myself. Without reading, also, so it was just like, kind of, I don't know, but yeah, so I didn't have like a TV or video games or like internet for the longest. Like we were like one of the last families to get like the internet. I feel like when I was like everyone in my high school had the internet, and they were like, oh, just on, and they were all on AIM.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, I don't. I just felt so out of the loop.
What was your first screen name? Do you remember it?
Oh God, no, I have no idea. No, I remember like I feel like the day I got AIM, I was so pumped, and then like a week later, no one was using it anymore. I was like, "Fuck!" Well, that was sort of a letdown. But
yeah. I was a very literal person. They were like, "Pick your favorite color and your birthday." So I was like, "Blue 615/87." Wow,
that's like those. I've just had to do a bunch of like stuff for health insurance. I moved here, and like they're asking me all those security questions.
Yeah,
and that's how I feel. I'm like, "Who's your childhood best friend?" I'm like, "I have no."
Yeah,
it's like these weird. Yeah. But sort of the same ideas.
And where did you grow up again?
Bridgewater, Massachusetts.
Okay.
I was like sort of out of there. But I went to Catholic high school in Taunton, Massachusetts. So I kind of like, I didn't hang out a ton in Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time in Taunton, but I didn't really spend a ton of time in Taunton. I kind of was like, just like a kind of floating. It's kind of like, I was kind of like a floater in that way. Like I was all around a bunch of towns. And that's kind of what I was like in my original scene as a comic too. Because I was like, on the South Shore of Massachusetts, where there's not a lot of comedy.
Sure.
So you got to go up to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was an equal distance to go from, from Boston to almost like Providence was almost the same. So I would kind of jump around from those two cities and occasionally get up to like Connecticut to do stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a long time to break into either of those two scenes strongly just because I was always like bouncing around. But it was good for my comedy, just I think anyway, just because you never get to... You have to earn the laughs every time because comics start to laugh at their own friends' jokes, kind of, once they get to know you. So you lose something on the merit of your own writing, and you start to not be able to be as critical of it, I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of why I liked doing that. And plus, you see new faces, so you get to, like, they haven't heard your shit over and over again either, which is nice.
I mean, Boston is notorious for pumping out some pretty iconic...
Yeah, there's some juggernauts that have, like, come out of there. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I was listening to some Bill Burr on the way here, so...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, he's my jam.
One angry fella.
Yeah, for sure.
He's over in Europe right now, and he was talking about eating, like... Wiener schnitzel and stuff like that.
Is that right?
He's like, I always thought it was a sausage. It's breaded pork. I'm like, yep. I got a podcast for you, Bill. But but yeah, so well, let's talk about, I mean, we kind of teased it before, let's talk about The Slammin' Salmon.
Yeah, yeah.
Came out in 2009. It is, I think, so it's like the fourth comedy by the Broken Lizard. They were a comedic troupe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What, five close friends? And
they kind of came out of nowhere, like, because I never heard of them prior to Super Troopers.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, because it's weird, you'll see, like, comedy troupes, they normally have, like fingerprints and different things.
Sure.
But they seem, like, so isolated, and they're, like, have you watched Reno 911 or anything like that?
Yeah.
Like, they had, like, you'll see guys from, like, Always Sunny were on that thing, mm-hmm. and they're, like, Key and Peele popped in on that, but I've never seen, like, those, I mean, I might just be ignorant to it, but I've never, like,
seen no, these guys, I mean, the only other thing they all make, well, because then Jay, I'm going to butcher his last name, Chandra Sekhar,
okay,
the Indian guy in the movie. Mm-hmm. He usually directs. This is the first film that Kevin Heffernan. He's well, in like Super Troopers, he's Farva, and so.
Oh man,
I would say the bigger guy, but in this movie, like he's not. I mean, he's the biggest, I guess, technically out of them, but yeah, he's definitely lost weight. But this is the first movie he directed. So I'm not gonna put the failures of this movie on him, I'm
sure there's a lot of blame to go around. And also, because it's like...
They write it together.
Oh, so. Yeah. See, I mean, I read this book once by... one of the few I've read. By the two... Actually, to call back to the Reno 911. It's the two guys that wrote Reno 911. They wrote some book called, like, How to Write... Not that I have any interest in writing screenplays, but I just really like those guys. And it was like, how to write screenplays, have fun and make money, and then they crossed out have fun and it's just make money. And it breaks down, like, there's literally a chapter in the book called Why All Movies Suck Dick.
Yeah.
Like, or that's probably not the right name for the chapter, but it's like why they all go bad, and it's how, like, there are so many people's fingers in the movie, there's always an act three problem, and then they fire the writers, and then the writers come back, and then they have, but then it's all been changed by these ghostwriters, so it's like...
Some would say too many cooks in the kitchen.
I think, yeah.
Low-hanging fruit. That's what we got here. But yeah, so, like I said, came out in 2009. There was Super Troopers, then Club Dread, and then Beer Fest, and then this movie. Now there's a Super Troopers.
It kind of feels like, the only thing I could think while I was watching the movie was, like, it feels like they're trying, like, the pitch for the movie was, what if the guys from Super Troopers made... like the movie Waiting. Like,
yes.
What if we did our version of Waiting?
Which, and, but I mean, like, but could be funny.
Which could be funny. Yeah. But it was sort of like, it felt like it was riding like the coattails of that movie's moderate cult success, I guess. I mean, I feel like most people know that movie, even if it wasn't like a super.
Yeah, it's definitely. Box office crusher. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like when I started, you know, when I was like, oh, I want to do a podcast on like food and drink films.
Yeah.
I was like, well, let me start. And there is like by my rules, and my rules are, you know, like the lead is working in food or drink, or the movie takes place in a restaurant or a bar, or the movie's just clearly like about food, or something like that. But I start counting, and there's a little over 80 if I keep, you know, strict like that. But hey, we've covered the Waterboy on here. So.
Yeah.
but Slammin' Salmon, I'm like, you know, I mean, not then, but then when thinking about it, I'm like, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought it was when I watched it on, like,
well, this can be more fun to review, I feel like. If you got like a shitty movie, it's way better to just talk about it trash.
Oh, yeah. Just recently we did Simply Irresistible. I don't know if you know that movie, Sarah Michelle Gellar, like 90s rom-com, which it should just be called like a crappy rom. No comment on that whatsoever.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, and that was fun to talk about. But I mean, the point being, I want more food movies. I want, like, I was like, okay, you know, like, we're gonna talk about a movie that takes place in a restaurant, like, that's awesome, like, mm-hmm. food culture, and there's jokes to be had. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, God knows, definitely, like, it's a stressful work environment.
Is your background, like, what is your food background? I didn't quite...
My food background is just that I eat a lot of it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, wow. So passionate that it's not even... Okay, cool, because I waited tables for... I waited tables at a Chili's restaurant for a little while. Okay. Yeah.
I did work at a deli for a long time.
Okay, cool.
And, I mean, then I freelanced on a season of Top Chef, and that made me, like, much more in respecting, like, food and plating and that kind of stuff.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so I was just a PA on it.
Nice, man.
Yeah, so I mean, so it's just, I mean, the food has just always been around me, literally and figuratively. And so I, you know, just when I, and then something I'm very passionate about and enjoy, and just like I travel I've started traveling a decent amount past couple of years, and I just always seem to be posting food, and people tell me that. They're like, you're posting a lot about food. There's no pictures of you, but you're posting a lot of food. I'm like, I'm one of those people.
You're posting so much food. Is everything okay?
Yeah, is everything okay? Yeah, someone, even a friend of mine from college, ended up, like, photoshopping my face onto Guy Fieri's body. I'm like, well, I might as well, own it now.
And the worst part was no one knew the difference. They just thought it was my
no,
body.
It really, I look, eerily look similar if I just, you know, start wearing flame t-shirts and bleach my hair.
Yeah, you're a bad haircut away from being Guy Fieri. Good,
you know what?
You,
the guy gets more shit than he deserves. but yeah, so Slam and Salmon, I mean, was there... did you like anything about it?
I was just saying, remember, because before you came here, we were watching, like, just to kind of get a refresher on the thing. Will Forte is, like, the one, like, beacon of,
yes.
Like, oh, is this a movie? Oh, okay, for a second, it's a real movie. And then he kind of backs away, because he's hilarious in those little scenes. He's so good. He likes it.
I mean, not to take anything away again from the Broken Lizard guys, but he's probably the most, like, comedically gifted person in the movie.
Oh yeah, with the exception of Jim Gavigan, who makes like a 2 second,
yes.
Like literally just one of the things about this movie that's like it's so low budget in almost every like that, so it suffers from that. Like the music is all, it's like everything's public domain music.
Yes. Yeah.
When the guy, like, the opening scene, like, remember. There's so many problems with this goddamn film. Like, they never address how the Farva character... I'm just going to call him Farva, because
yeah,
I don't know his name.
Farva, yeah.
So when Farva, when he falls down the stairs in the beginning of the movie and then breaks his leg, he's just a waiter. And they never address how he is all of a sudden now in the managerial position.
Yeah.
That was the whole reason that he broke his leg, was the guy was yelling at him. Like, so they don't... It feels like that was supposed to be almost like a different part of a movie.
It really,
like,
does.
That setup was
yeah.
It's bizarre. Yeah, it's really...
Yeah, I mean, so the plot of this movie also doesn't come into play until... I mean, thank God this movie was
like
only
20 minutes
90,
in.
Yeah. The movie was only 90 minutes, and it comes in, and yeah, like 20 minutes in, and it's that... And then, you know, spoiler alert, doesn't even end up mattering at all.
Nothing that happens in this movie matters.
Exactly.
That's sort of tonally, like, one minute, like, their characters, like, being, like, sort of serious, like, oh, this movie's grounded in some sort of reality.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, oh, no, it's just a cartoon world where anything is possible. And it's just,
For those guys, so, you know, going off the idea that if you're listening, you've seen... Well, please, if you've seen The Slam and Salmon, why haven't you watched their other films?
Yeah, it's like, just The Slam and Salmon.
My favorite.
Well, actually, if you saw The Slam and Salmon first and someone was like, it's by the guys, they also made a movie called Super Troopers, you'd be like, yeah, I'm good. I don't actually need to see any more of their work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Slam and Salmon was enough.
And if Slam and Salmon is your favorite out of, like, the Broken Lit, you're a sociopath.
Yeah.
You're literally insane.
Insane is probably, yeah.
Yes. But I think one of the first notes I wrote was, the dynamic is off, and the wrong guys are playing the wrong roles. Like, I think about these guys in, like, the other characters that they played, and, like, you have, so the guy that plays Steve LeMay,
mm-hmm.
The guy that plays, like, Connor, so he had his, like, little, you know, 15 minutes of fame on two episodes of a TV show.
Yeah,
nose job guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he tends to play, like, the sillier guys in other movies. In Beerfest, he's the Jewish character.
Yeah, well, here's a question about this movie that I think is... So, two things. One, to compliment your point.
Oh, thank you.
is the... Like, Farva, like, I was wondering about watching Farva, because he's so good as the asshole character.
Yes.
It feels like he's... I wonder if he was just like, I want to get out of my wheelhouse... And see if I can, like...
Stay
in the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But then also, like, who is the main character of the movie?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't know that there is one. I guess I would say Farva, because he opens with him, and it's sort of where the movie crescendos and, like, peaks. It's like his moment.
Yeah, he has his stand-up moment.
But it feels like for a period of time, it's almost... Connor, the guy with the nose job, dude.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just I'm shocked you remembered the names of the people.
Oh, I wrote
that's
it
what
down.
Blows me. Okay,
no.
cool.
All written down, but never.
That's another benchmark of a great movie. Can you remember any of the characters' names?
I mean, besides Cleon Salmon, because that's kind of
a
cool
name. The
name.
It's in the title. That's
yeah, cool. Exactly. It's also in the title. But I mean, you've got Then Jay, again, gonna the butchering of his last name. He plays Nut slash then, what does he call himself? I wrote it down.
Oh, Django? Mung? Something like that?
Zongo.
Zongo.
Yeah.
I was so close.
Yeah.
So close.
And then you've got Kevin playing Rich. And then you've got...
Man, he might be the...
Is Dave and Donnie, the twins.
Oh, whoever played... Oh, well, the twins, I could... there's so many things about this movie that I can't wrap my head... Like, the twins thing was that, like, we want to do, like, two characters that are the same character.
Yeah.
Which actually worked effectively in their Beer Fest movie, where they bring the brother back.
Well, that's the most brilliant fuck you of all
time.
It is.
That was great. Yeah.
Just that like, you were emotionally invested. This is the emotional crux of the movie.
Beautiful. But yeah. This is, like, either this is a terrible, like... Which movie came out first, do you know?
Ooh.
Is it Sandler or Beer Fest? Because I don't know if this predates that, then I'm like, okay, maybe this was like an idea that eventually, you know, got full.
This has to, I think
got
this is
fully
after.
Thought out.
I think they made this for the studio in a way because they wanted to make Super Troopers, but Super Troopers 2 was just kept getting delayed and came out this past year.
Okay. But, is that any good?
No.
No. Okay.
No, it's just one of those, like, in the recent years, what we've had Anchorman 2, Dumb and Dumber 2, Zoolander 2, like, big, you know, like, some of the, like, you know, tentpole comedies of the past 20 years.
It's crazy that I forgot we had a Dumb and Dumber 2, because if you told me...
We had a prequel to it.
But, like, with the actual two actors, like, if you told 14-year-old me that there's going to be a Dumb and Dumber 2, and you're not going to, not only you're not going to see it... But you're going to forget that it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, you're out of your goddamn mind. There's no way I'm not in theaters opening day for that movie. But, yeah.
The bad thing about that was, like, you know, I watch that movie and I go, these are just, like, since they are older, time gets to us all. And you're just like, oh, I just feel bad that there's these old, really dumb guys that have, like, before they're younger and you're just like, you know, like.
I'm curious about that new Jim Carrey TV show where he plays, like, the... Sort of like Robin Williams from that.
Kidding.
Dark take on a child's show.
Yeah,
host
directed
or whatever.
By Michelle Gondry.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, I know he was nominated for the Golden Globes for last night.
Oh really?
So
in case anyone was wondering when this podcast was.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really time stamping it. But 2006 was Beer Fest.
Okay,
so this is post.
This is post. Oof. Oh, so they're doing a weaker version of the joke they did. that's bad.
Yeah.
That's rough. I don't know. Because it felt like they were like, hey, what if the studio says we have the budget to do a twin thing? Let's just put it in there. Or were they just like, what if we didn't pay another actor and we just had this gimmick and that way we can have more money for cocaine? Is everyone cool with that?
It just had zero. There was no
There's
reason.
There's not a lot of utility of it.
Like in Beer Fest, they used it brilliantly for like comedic, like, and they're just like,
oh,
can
great.
We just call? Wait, what was his name?
I remember I watched Beer Fest for the first time with some friends, and we'd never seen it before, and it wasn't in theaters. It was after it had come out, and we were like, no, are they doing that? I was like, oh my god! It was like we were all just losing our shit.
I remember some people like in the theater, and it's like, well, fuck you. What kind of, like, what movie do you think you're watching anyway? They're like, what? Like, and I heard people leaving the theater, like, why did they do that? I'm like, that's
great.
Awesome. That's a business.
No, that was my favorite part of the thing.
Landfill. That was like
Landfill,
his character.
Yeah.
So when Landfill dies in it, and then they bring like Gil, his twin brother.
I'm just like, in fact, I'd like it if you called me Landfill.
Just like, okay, watch.
Yeah, slam dunk. No,
perfect.
That was great.
But this, zero reason for there to be a Dave and a Donnie.
Yeah.
So even two D names, and I don't know. It's just, and then there's, and then the other, the last of the Broken Lizard guys, there's the character Guy.
Guy is my least favorite part of the entire movie. His dialogue is so dog shit, and he's I know they're trying to make him unlikable. I know that's like the point.
Yes.
He's unlikable in a way where he's boringly unlikable.
Well,
like I don't want to look at this scene. He's so bad.
Well, like in the other movies, I think in Club Dread he ends up being like the bad guy.
Okay.
but then in spoiler, for like a 2004 movie. But in Beer Fest, he's one of like the brothers. Like it's him, and then like the guy that plays the chef in this movie. They're the brothers that kickstart the whole. Like it's their Donald Sutherland's their great grandfather, or whatever. And then in Super Troopers, he's Rabin. Rabin's just like the rookie, kind of the straight guy, doesn't get wacky. And I think that's what that actor, Eric Stolhamsky, like does best, and he's playing just like he's supposed to be Greek, and I don't know, he's just not useful. He's not like he should be playing more just like the angry chef or something like that. I don't know.
Well, that's maybe that's the problem when you try to give. When you're in a troupe and you're like, we have to have a role for everyone in the troupe.
Yeah.
And it's like when the movie just does not call for that. And so you're just like pigeonholing people in either A, roles they don't need, or creating roles for them that don't make any sense. Yeah, it's like, and everyone, you know what the other problem is? Like everyone gets almost, I wouldn't say everyone gets an equal amount of screen time, but they get a lot. Whereas it's like, I don't know, there needs to be some more ancillariness to like use them in. And the whole fucking movie takes place in one location.
One location, one night.
It is so goddamn boring. Like it is just, it's hard to get through.
And it is just like, it's a bland restaurant. Let's talk about the restaurant.
Like, thank you
for
inviting me
on
this podcast and saying the movie. I'm never going to forgive you for making me watch.
That's what, you know, Foodie Films is creating memories one day at a time.
No, it's
and
good.
So, Slam and Salmon is the name of the restaurant.
Yep.
And so, Cleon Salmon is a heavyweight, retired heavyweight boxer, and he's played by the late, great Michael Clark Duncan.
God rest his soul. And I was thinking that, too. I'm like, I haven't seen anything about Michael Clark Duncan in since he died.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is not what he would want me to see.
No.
Like, just watch Green Mile, pretend this never happened.
Yeah, exactly. Watch, like, Green Mile, even watch Armageddon, love the character of Baron Armageddon.
His deathbed words were, destroy the slamming salmon.
But and then even, I mean, the guy does have comedic chops because he was in Talladega Nights as like the pit crew boss.
Yeah, that's right.
He's funny in that. But like this, I mean, I would say his character got the most laughs out, if there were laughs to be had.
I mean, yeah. They make him wackier and wackier as it goes on,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the rap.
Just like it goes in. But the... Well, I was going to say, like, this cast is actually not bad. There are, like, a ton of people in this, like, who I assume don't ever want this movie to be seen. I'm not going to say they're bad in it. It's just the dialogue is so rough. But, like, Also, fuck this movie for not having any nudity in it. Like, that is such... It is so suggestive.
Yeah,
so suggestive that there's going to be nudity within the first, like, bad... Like, one of the second scenes is after the... after the opening, that made no sense.
The prologue.
Before the credits. before the name of it was just weird. But the second scene is two chicks in a bathroom, like, changing, and she's just her fantastic body in a bra.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, the hint of, there's definitely going to be something.
Some antics in the bathroom.
And there's not a single titty to be found in the entire movie. And it breaks my heart.
I mean, I've been on record numerous times, even past on my other podcast, PS I Love Hoffman, boobs make movies better. And
they don't make them worse.
Exactly.
They might not make a bad movie good, but they're not making they say that correctly?
Yeah.
They might not make a bad movie good, but they're not going to make a good movie bad.
Yeah. I
put that on my tombstone. Those would be my deathbed. That's my Michael Clark Duncan last words.
Well, actually, it's funny. I wrote down on your Twitter, you on, like, what would you call in the bio part? It says, like, doing comedy while preparing for
the end times.
End of times. Well, tell me about that. Why are you preparing for the end times?
It's just like a weird, dumb thing I wrote when I wrote it. Like, I was just, it's like,
you have a lot of canned goods.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember why. I think I came up with the, like, I think therefore I touch myself, and
yes.
I remember that being like, I was like, oh, that could be like, it's not like a stage joke.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, like, but it's like a dumb little thing. And so I was like, maybe that's a tweet. And I was like, I had nothing for my bio. And I was like, I'll put that up there. And then just like, I don't like it when, I don't know, so many people are just like, they just list their bio is like at least for comics, I think it's weird. It's like, their bio is just like what they,
like their hobbies.
Like it's like the hierarchy of their like mom, actor, comedian, you know, actor, whatever, painter, and then the places they work, which is I guess maybe because I'm just not doing enough, but maybe I don't have enough things going on in my life. Actually, now that I'm saying it, I'm actually depressed. And I'm gonna remove it.
Well, watch the Slam and Salmon again. And
yeah,
make
there
it
we
all
go.
Better,
I feel
but...
cheerful. yeah, but no, it was just some dumb thing I thought of.
But then also, I mean, so, yeah, we're talking about yeah. So the restaurant, it's called Slam and Salmon. He's a heavyweight. It's just this bland. I get. Is it a chain restaurant or is there just one place?
I don't know that the lore of that world goes deep enough. To, like it's like literally they broke their own like the beginning of the movie is the guy saying wanting the possible main protagonist character saying he wants to quit, but then not having the courage to leave because the last person who tried to leave wasn't able to leave because the boss murdered him, maybe?
This movie is about, like, work abuse.
this loosely, just there's a tyrannical maniac who's, he's a lovable murderer.
Just constantly yells, whatever, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
But his whole thing was that you can't leave because the owner will murder you.
Yes.
But then, like, two or three scenes later, they're doing the backstory of the actor guy who openly leaves the job in the most incredulous, like, he's flipping tables and, like, oh, and then he walks out and there's no murder. So it's like they just contradicted themselves and it took less than 10 minutes. It's like, I don't know, I don't know.
And then at the end we find out that Farva's character is married to...
And that was what I was wondering because he's... So Farva's character is married to the... Salmon's sister. Which is, I was wondering, like, is that how he got the managerial position?
I get,
but they just don't really address it. I don't know. Yeah, it's...
This movie just is...
The problem is we're applying human logic to to what has been probably 30 rewrites, cuts, edits, and then just...
I just don't know how this movie ended up this way, though, because, I mean, I've heard, like, what you were saying about, you know, too many people, like, you know, like, getting involved.
It's a fascinating book. You should absolutely read that. I'll write that. I'll find the name for you. Yeah.
But they had, like, three hit comedies. I mean, I mean, Super Troopers was a huge, like, end up cult, like ended up becoming a huge cult movie. And I think Beer Fest did pretty well in theaters. I don't know how Club Dread did, but it is.
What's the movie they did at? Because you would think once you get, like, once you have a hit, like, you would think you get the green light to do whatever your, like,
I mean, they've only done the five films.
My only thought is, like, with, like, because sometimes with stand-up comics, you'll see this, and it's that they're best album is their first album.
Sure.
And it's just like, well, because you've been, who knows how many times, like, they've spent writing it, editing it, going over it.
Yeah.
And so you're getting something, their labor of love that took maybe 10
all
years.
Been building,
and it's a building. And then you're like, okay, do the next special and have it come out in a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, maybe it'll be as good, but it's like, but there's usually a precipitous dip in quality.
And I mean, that you have five guys writing together, even if they're like, in the end of the day, even if you're friends and you all get along, you're gonna have like different contradicting ideas or want something different from the movie. And so the fact that like
it's a lot of writers, that's a lot of people to write. Like if because usually the best thing is like one guy's vision, and then you just and that way you can go nope, fuck that, and then it just there's a clear. You know, I mean, but having five bosses is like, I mean, that's like you're not gonna.
And those guys clearly decided that, you know, Jay was like the director because he directed those first three, and then he directed the.
Which one's Jay again? I apologize.
The Indian.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
Zongo.
Zongo.
But I feel bad. I just don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah.
But he directed the Dukes of Hazzard movie with like Johnny Knoxville and Sean William Scott and all of these
guys.
Well,
that's the other thing. Like, and I think with comics too, just what I've seen, like once they start to, like the best comics, again, in my opinion, are the ones that only do stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they're, that's like Dave Attell, I think is maybe one of the best. And he's done a few other things.
Yeah.
But like that, his bread and butter, like that's where like it's, and he's just always in the shit. So you're just always honing that skill.
Mm-hmm.
And the second they start to branch out and like, oh, I'm going to do a TV show, I'm going to write movies, I'm going to direct and all this other stuff. So as like, I just wonder as their interests vary and go out, it's like, there's just, not only have they not put the time in previously to get that movie done, now they're less interested in doing something that they aren't as passionate about, you know, post.
No, and I mean, some people clearly use it as like a tool just, you know, you doing like stand-up comedy as a tool to get to like the next, like what they want.
No, he used it as a stepping stone. That's like yeah.
I know that on so my former co-host, his podcast, well, you guys have heard me talk about numerous times, his podcast, High School Slumber Party, they covered the movie Eighth Grade, which Bo Burnham directed.
I've heard that's really good.
Yeah, I still need to see it. I heard it's really good. I think it was, again, pretty good.
All right, well, if there's any food in it, let me know. We'll watch that, and that'll be episode two with Steven.
But he said, like, yeah, no, this is what I want to do. I want to direct. Like, that's what I've always wanted to do, direct.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't know.
But, I mean, and he was also someone, like, I know I'm telling you something you already know, but like comedy is always changing. He came from YouTube, making YouTube videos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like you think of like the guys that then your Seinfelds or your Ray Romanos, that they lived in an era that like you did stand up and your goal was to get a sitcom.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, like, yeah, yep.
Like that whole realm. So,
yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I mean, is he? I actually don't know his stand up well, or really at all. But he's sort of more like an entertainer than like a strict.
Bo Burnham.
Am I right or wrong on that?
Yeah, like he does like. Like songs,
yeah.
And
like it's
songs.
Very, it varied. It's not.
Yeah,
like a,
more entertainer okay, than
cool.
straight up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't even know. Like, what's your take on? I always hear such a like comedian versus comic. Like comp, you know, is it, do you see a?
I mean, I guess I don't look at it as a comedian comic. To me, those are the same, interchangeable.
Yeah.
There's improv, and then there's like
sure.
you want to be a comedic actor, and then within it there's like a, you know. So I mean. I guess there's like stand-up comic to me. I definitely have like an image.
I think of like
your
David Tells.
Yeah, David Tell, Doug Stanhope, like the guys that are just like you know Louis or Burr, like those kind of guys. Mm-hmm. Like that's sort of you know.
In the cellar.
That's I mean that's my you know paragon of what a comic is. But I don't know that. It can be whatever. It's like it's all about your own personal taste.
Exactly. No, this little sometimes like I've asked some people sometimes like, do you like the word foodie? Like, what is that? Everyone likes food. Like, what does foodie mean to you? Does that mean that you're posting on Instagram or are you a bit snobby? Are you saying like I'm not going to eat fast food anymore? Mm-hmm. Or do you just find different ways to enjoy different meals?
Yeah, you know?
Like, I even when it comes to movies, I break it up into like movies and films. Like, movies are just you know like.
Are you good cook? Not to totally deride your point. You are.
Yeah, like I mean, I enjoy. Like definitely, I love going to restaurants because then I like trying a new dish and then I try trying to replicate it at home.
Okay.
Like I'll look it up and it's just like learning. Like I'm not. I've never been like. I'm not a handyman. I'm not like. I don't build things. I'm not like. I don't, like do electrical or plumbing or woodwork. So it's just like I like. It's definitely like.
Despite my hat and flannel shirt.
Exactly.
I
look completely. Yeah, I am. You know.
Yeah,
I like Broadway shows. Like I'm not. You know.
Okay. Cool.
My interest.
Though I may appear useful, I assure you, sir. I am.
Yeah. No, I am not a lumberjack of any sorts.
Because I'm not. I'm not a very good. I can like grill.
Okay.
I can like grill.
Yeah. Or men.
Yeah.
And just,
fuck yeah. We're useful,
yeah.
right? We've already established
yeah,
that we're
we,
both
yeah.
super useful men.
Have beards.
We both have beards. This is this one's new. I just started.
Ah,
I don't know.
It's the winter, so.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like it's not even that I wanted a beard. I was just like
your body.
It's
just
like well, I was like it's going to be too. I'm just the anxiety of walking outside at post shave. Is like we'll wait till April.
Couldn't afford scarves. The scarf
exactly.
market.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know the scarf market is it's way up there now.
Yeah. Yeah. The Dow has been really down.
but I just made a shepherd's pie for the first time.
Wow.
Ever. Oh, under the guys, I was supervised by my roommate.
Okay.
Let me know when I was fucking up, but it wasn't. It wasn't too bad because she makes like soup here all the time, and I was
sure.
like, I'll make something because I'll
soup
do.
In a bread bowl.
Yeah, like, she's good there. So I love soup. That's right. That
yeah.
That might be soup. Might be my favorite food if there's a. I just love it so much. We just take a 10-minute pause so I can just think and appreciate
yeah,
soup.
Yeah,
it's a dead air so I can look back longingly. It's the best. So varied. I'm passionate about this.
Well, I mean, is there really much more to the slamming salmon? I don't want to give it more time than it necessarily
deserves. No, it deserves to pay. If like I said, if you're a film student, because it's important. Like with not to bring it back to comedy, but it's just as important to know what you like about film
yeah.
or comedy than what you don't like about because that
it's like a history lesson.
It's so good. It's a lesson on what not like. So the line of dialogue.
Watch their other movies.
Yeah, watch their other movies. Yeah. Like the line of dialogue that fucking like it. You ever see something on screen? You like get embarrassed. Like you're like oh, like you just can't even look at it. When the character guy was like, they're talking about how Connor may have like fucked some celebrity woman.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
and he just leans in, and he goes, "What was it like? Was she wet? Was she dry? Did she laugh? Did she cry?" And it's the most cringeworthy, it also gets really quiet in the back, like the background noise disappears, and it sounds like they dubbed it, like it sounds like he said it like a color. A really bizarre. It's like a close up. I don't understand why they put so much production into the creepiest, most off putting, not funny. I don't know, but
yeah,
these are my critiques.
Let me just look. What else did I write down? I wrote Michael Clark Duncan suffices. You know, I mean, he was a great actor and had comedic chops, and they just use him as like the angry black guy in the movie. But
I gotta look up salaries for this afterwards. I want to know how much people made. Exactly. Like
this movie made like $40,000.
I just want to know like how much Michael Clark Duncan was like. I'll do it, but it's
Oh, I also wrote down that again. So Jay, Zongo, I was like, he's playing Brick Tamlin from Anchorman. Like even the glasses,
that's fair.
Steve Carell's character,
yeah.
It's like I am kind of like I am slightly retarded. A good pair of slacks.
I think when you like, I've had conversations with people this before. Like when you make a movie, and again, my opinion means nothing, but like, and this is kind of a critique I have some of like, I like Will Ferrell's movies, but like sometimes I feel like his characters, either the protagonist, the main character, is the he's the straight man, and the world is crazy.
Yes.
Or your main character is bananas, and the world is the straight man reacting to him. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you just have a double crazy, and it doesn't, and nothing is, and everything's too absurd, and there's no formula or rules to ground yourself on. So nothing's funny because nothing's reacting to absurdity because it's just all absurdity, or everything's the straight man, and this is a case of everything is too crazy. Like there's no, like there's no one's the straight man. Maybe the manager.
Like maybe the manager and Connor's got a crazy story, but his delivery is just so subdued. He's just like kind of always talking like this and just very, you know, like this is the way it's gonna.
Yeah, it shifts. It's
and then Donnie, like this that waiter, except for they keep having him drink. Some, I don't know, that blue curacao.
So many storylines that go nowhere. I don't know. It's just...
Yeah. I mean, like, even I wrote down... So it's like, Mia gets her face burned, Rich eats a ring, Nuts forgets his meds, Donnie is drinking curacao, Connor gets a nose job, weird Zongo cat dream. Like,
oh, the guy...
Okay, Fox plays, like, is supposed to be playing, like, a young pop star of some sort.
Yeah. And so they also get that guy from... I forget his name. He's got an amazing voice. He was in, like, the X-Files spinoff, the Millennium Group.
Oh!
He does a lot of video game voices. He actually might have died.
And, well, he's... And then he's, whatchamacallit, in the android in Aliens, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
I'm totally...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this cast was not bad. Like, they had like, legit actors and people in it. And it's just... Yeah.
Well, you know what? Just to close that out, let's just play a... I found a montage of Michael Clark Duncan lines. So,
oh, hit me with that. I'm ready.
We'll just play that for you guys, and we'll move on. Oh wait, I do want to say the one line because it's actually not in the montage. You must dominate the swordfish; only then you can sauté it. That line made me laugh.
Yeah.
The fact that I put, is it all worth it to see Michael Clark Duncan punch a swordfish?
Well, that's what. Like the fact that they had this, like, what? It's just, that's like, again, one of the like absurd things. It's like, oh, he rode a horse in like with a giant sea fish and like that was still alive. Like, oh, so you transported it conscious. Like,
exactly.
Like, where's the ocean? What is the distance? How is any of this? Yeah. So anyway,
here we go.
Mr. Yamamori say he think if Muhammad Ali was still young man, no one ever defeat him.
Yeah, well, if ifs and buts was candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Tell him that. No, I didn't say that. If ifs and buts was candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Yes, Champ-san, I translate.
Say it!
If and but was a candy and nut, we all have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you! Was that so hard?
It's decapitated, champ.
Whatever, motherfucker! Who is Guy Meat Drapes? What kind of name is that?
It's Madropity, sir. It's Greek.
Well, I think you're pronouncing it wrong. This says Meat Drapes.
It's actually pronounced, Madropities.
Well, why doesn't it sound like that when I say it? Meat Drapes.
I don't know.
You don't know much, do you, Guy?
No, sir.
Well, well, well. Look like somebody's little acorns done grew into big nuts. Whatever, motherfucker! That's right, new prize. Top waiter leaves here tonight with 10 grand in his pocket. You know what 10 grand feels like in your pocket? It feels like a third cock.
Jesus, how many cocks you got, champ?
Are you lampooning me, Meat Drapes?
No, of course not, sir.
Hey, champ.
I'm so sorry, but her suit face scared the shit out of me. My voice is not that high. That's nice, Rich. Well, check this out. If you don't find me a table, I'm gonna shove him up your ass. Why you hit yourself? Have you gone crazy? Huh? Are you crazy, man? All right, come on, let's get this over with. I gotta get home and watch Dancing with the Stars. Nick Lachey is doing the jitterbug. He's good. Have you ever seen him?
No, no.
You got your guards up.
No.
You wanna fight?
He's kidding, right, champ?
Don't be so scared. You should learn to control your fears. Take me, for instance. I'm afraid of the dark, but you'd never know it, because I have mental discipline. You know what I'm saying? I don't even use a nightlight no more.
Okay.
Whoa. What's up?
So there we have it. Michael Clark Duncan. Whatever, motherfucker. Maybe that's the mantra for this movie. Are they that brilliant, the Broken Lizards, that they're just like, they were so unhappy making this movie.
Oh,
and Kevin Heffernan just also wanted to, like, get the feel for directing. I haven't looked to see if he's directed anything else, but maybe. And they're just like, whatever, motherfucker.
They do like marijuana. I could see that being up there. Yeah.
Exactly.
That feels like the right mentality.
Still waiting for Pot Fest. They teased that at the end of Beer Fest with Willie Nelson. They said Pot Fest coming soon.
I don't know if that's a goof, but that, like, people would probably line up to see that.
Yeah.
You know, as long
it'd be
as
funnier net with all, like, more U.S. citizens, like, that has, like, you know, legalized weed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That could be.
Maybe that's why they haven't come up with it yet. They had too many rewrites. Like, well, now that it's, they had a bunch of legalize it jokes, and now it's all legal. Like, just throw the whole fucking thing in the trash.
Oh yeah,
we gotta start from scratch.
All right. Well, moving on. Next, we're gonna move on to the famous food scene segment. So these are just two. I just have two this week that you're gonna pick one randomly out of my hand, and we're gonna watch it, and we're gonna talk about it for a couple of minutes. So just go ahead and choose one.
So much pressure.
It's a tough one. It's just two. Usually, sometimes I have like five written down. I'm just gonna write these two.
Let's see what we got here.
So what do we got?
Otto, Funny People.
Otto, Funny People. So do you know the movie Funny People?
I do not know. Is it with Adam Sandler or
Adam Sandler? Okay, Seth Rogen. And so this is, so right now I'll pull that up, and we're going to watch the it's the Otto deli scene from Funny People.
Nah, he's right, man. No way, man. It was painful. I mean, it was hard watching you suffer up there. I had fucking nightmares after that.
That was a long time ago. That was months ago. I've gotten a lot funnier since then.
And you brought my wife to sleep. I couldn't get no pussy that night.
Don't blame me for your pussy issues.
Are they gonna pay you?
Pay me? No. That's just how it starts. You don't get paid in the beginning. You gotta, you know, work your way up through the ranks.
My nigga, how the fuck you in show business when you ain't got no business to show?
I'm supposed to be writing jokes. I'm supposed to be doing comedy. I'm not supposed to be making macaroni salad. I hate it, man. It's depressing. Otto's sucks.
You don't know about no motherfucking hard time, man. I'm an ex-convict, man. Otto's the only place that would hire me. You too good for Otto's now?
I'm not too good for it. I just don't. It's not for me, you know? I'm sorry.
See that bridge? Huh? $1,200.
Okay.
On the house, man. Otto, man. Otto's my lotto.
Come on, man. Look, I can't work here anymore.
What, okay? You want to be on TV or some shit?
I am going to be on TV.
Chucky Guy on Survivor?
No, I'm going to be like Seinfeld.
Get the fuck out of here, man. You're going to be like Seinfeld. Seinfeld's my motherfucking man. You know? And Kramer? Kramer gets a pass from me because Kramer's my nigga.
Well, you know. Very forgiving of you.
Look, as a friend, man, I'm gonna tell you something. You're not funny.
I think I'm funny. I got new jokes, man, and they're good.
Let me hear one of your new jokes.
Okay, I got one like, I'm really good at Guitar Hero, you know, on PlayStation, and I was so good at it, I thought, like, maybe I should get a guitar. And then I thought, like, I'm really good at Grand Theft Auto. Maybe I should start beating up hookers.
Okay, I got to admit, that was humorous.
I thought you'd like that.
But, yo, I ain't got no dough, man. For real, if I had some dough, I would go.
I'll pay your cover charge.
That's the night I take my wife out also. So you got to pay for my bitch, too.
Okay, I'll do it. Okay, if you come and laugh, laugh loud. That's good. Perfect.
I'll see you Saturday.
Okay,
then,
good. Thank you.
So you see what I did there, Steven? You know, like a stand-up comics, food scene. I mean, sometimes they're just I just have a plethora of, you know, just very famous food scenes.
Can I ask what the other scene was?
The other scene was the it's the pizza pillow scene from Sleepwalk With Me, so that's Mike Birbiglia's movie.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that either.
Okay, it's a good cool. check. I think his movies are on Netflix, if you have Netflix.
I do, yeah.
I think
I don't want to brag, but yeah, I get Netflix. Wow. I mean, it's I don't actually have it. It's my brother's, but I have access to
I know
it.
People.
I know people. I know people. That's right.
So that was, I was just like, let me keep it, you know, like stand-up related. I mean, maybe
I
we can...
Cool.
So we've got Seth Rogen and the RZA in this scene, both of them.
I knew he looked familiar, though. Yeah. I didn't know who that was. No, yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Wu-Tang cool. Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. So the RZA, actually this is interesting. We were just kind of talking about it with the Slime and Salmon. You've got Seth Rogen playing the straight guy in this scene,
yep.
And the RZA being the more
yep.
wackier, going for the laughs, like even just the Otto is my Lotto,
yeah,
Kramer
yeah.
is my... The N word, and you know, just like all that kind of stuff, the bridge, you know, like all that. So, I mean, what have you seen Funny People?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so that's the third directorial film of Judd Apatow. Sure. You know, who's like obviously the kind of the precipice of.
He's got a lot of stuff going on. Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on that Judd Apatow. He's kind of made his way back. He has a stand-up special on Netflix. I think it's The Return, I think it's called. Anyway, but this is kind of funny because, I mean, you're saying before that you've worked as a waiter. And
it was the only job I ever got fired from was,
okay.
was a waiter. Yeah, I was so bad, man. They didn't train me crazy well, but like I was just so... It's just I couldn't put the effort in to learn anything. I feel like I'm pretty like good. I learned things through like osmosis, okay, like
sure.
most things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll just get the menu as I go. And I,
yeah.
but like I should have sat down and studied it. But I just my brain was so disinterested in it. It just rejected holding on to any of the information. So I never learned the menu. I never ate anything there. So I couldn't tell him if it was good, and I just didn't have any. I didn't want to like lie to the people, like, "Ah, that's great." I was like, "I don't know. I have no idea."
Yeah.
And I fucked up orders constantly. I was slow. I remember one time I came out and I brought soup to this woman, and
your
I just,
favorite thing.
I yeah, my favorite thing. Maybe I just so subconscious. This is why I just hate myself, so I keep reliving the moment. But I had my entire like thumb in the soup. and the whole time I'm going, my thumb is in the soup and it's burning. And I walked out
okay,
and I
you
put
were
it down.
Feeling. I was nervous that you didn't
and
have
I
feelings.
And I put it down on the table in front of her and I was like, ah. And then she looked at me, I looked at her and I walked away and she was like an older woman. So I literally heard her go to her husband like, his finger was in the soup. And I was just like, oh, she did. Because I thought I got away with it. I was
yeah.
like, oh, she didn't notice my thumb was in the soup. And he's
yeah.
like, her, his thumb was in the soup.
Was it a viscous soup? Was it like a, you know...
I don't know. I don't think she ate it, though. No, it was not a viscous soup. It was just a... It was like a chicken noodle or something. It was a brothy.
Like your thumbprint was in
oh,
the...
Oh, man, it hurt so bad. But I couldn't... I was just stuck in the moment, and I could...
Yeah.
It's almost like you can stand up when you're not used to, like, a heckler or something, or you
sure.
forget,
oh,
forget
yeah,
what you're trying
that,
to say.
Yeah.
You're just stuck in the moment, and you hit that, like, panic mode, so you just, like, watch yourself doing the thing. You're like, oh, fuck, I'm doing this thing. And then it just happens independent of your want or desire. Yeah, so it was...
Yeah, and I like this scene because it shows, you know, I think Seth Rogen's character's name is Ira in this movie, and it shows, like, this is, you know, his job, this is his source of income. He even says to the RZA, like, no, like, I don't make money from this. I have to, you know, sometimes you got to pay them to perform on stage and not make money. But he's working at this, it's this deli in this supermarket. Even the movie ends there. I think then he goes back there and Adam Sandler's character comes and apologizes, whatever. Okay. But it's just kind of funny, like this deli, and he just has wants nothing to do with it. And
very relatable. Very relatable. Yeah, yeah.
So it was, I'm sick. I fucking hate the macaroni and all that shit. But yeah, so Otto was, you know, can be one's lotto while someone else's demise.
It's a relatable scene because it's like you just every job you're just like it's not, it's just the vehicle to get to the like the thing, and it's but it's you're like, yeah, I just want to be anywhere but here right now and just doing that other stuff. But
all right, and for our last segment, gut instincts, these are just some, you know, whatever, just whatever comes to you first as far as these food related questions.
Okay.
Favorite fast food?
Favorite McDonald's.
McDonald's. Yeah. Go to drink.
Water.
Alcoholic drink.
Yeah, alcoholic drink. I don't know if I have beer. Maybe. Okay, yeah, beer. I've been way more into beer. I used to do whiskey a lot, but it's not a great way to live a life.
Sure. Is there a drink that you're like after you do a set that you're like, oh, I really want that right now?
If it went really well, if it's like a celebratory drink, maybe. Yeah. I probably should like a beer, just like in kind of
beer.
Yeah.
Man of the people.
Man, yeah, goddamn right.
Sweet or savory?
Sweet or savory. These are hard. This is like the Brett Kavanaugh trial. I don't know. I don't recall my favorite.
You're just gonna start naming all your friends' nicknames.
What am I fucking running? Yeah,
Squeegee and Billy.
I'm not running for the Justice Department. I guess I would say sweet, maybe. I don't know. I go with. It all depends on the day.
Sure.
Because I love soup. I don't know if we mentioned that. I don't know if I brought up how much I like soup.
Yeah, and there's some sweet gazpachos out there, you know.
You know what? Okay, let me put it. No sweet in the soup.
No sweet in the soup.
Yeah, just purely. But yeah, I don't know. And then I like to. I also really like them paired. When you pair the two together, like, you know, you get something that's like salty and sweet. I don't know. That I'm a fan of that.
A chocolate covered pretzel or something. Maybe?
Yes, that. Yeah, that's my jam. Yeah.
It's okay. We've got a repair guy in the background. It's all good. Something makes it very New York right now.
It's perfect, we're literally talking about him while he's here. He has no idea. Yeah, he doesn't understand.
Ancillary character. This is from the Slammin' Salmon.
This is perfect.
Favorite childhood snack?
Favorite childhood snack. Well, I don't like it anymore, but my thing that I loved when I was a kid was definitely like just like fruit snacks.
Yeah.
I used to have a friend, a neighborhood friend who was also the answer to my security question. my earliest childhood friend. I'm not going to say his name because you can all get in my stuff now.
Yeah, exactly.
He used to come by, and he would come over to my house specifically. Like, I think that's what our friendship was based on, was that I had fruit snacks.
Yeah.
And then, but he had, on his end, he had cable, and I did not have cable. Do you want to pause and I can tell them?
We inside, and there's too much heat, as a mushroom every year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. 2-3 hours changing the small cup of sugar, that's cool. It.
Nice.
You see?
Beautiful. Life is good.
That's it. Awesome. They becoming, show me the room, the ladies.
Oh, the room? You
need
to see it? Sure.
That guy was a character. I liked him.
He's fun. I told you there was a beer in there, and he was showing me, like, because there's like a leak in that room.
Yeah, the aqua.
Yeah, the aqua. So he's trying to, like, that's the thing. I don't ever talk to him, so it's like all my roommate Jacqueline.
Yeah.
So she's having all the conversations with him. Yeah. So, but he thinks I know all the information that she has, and I'm like, no idea. That's all her domain. So I was like, whatever. But he's like trying to show me pictures, and his hands are just like, I'm like, dude, maybe we'll have a drink.
Yeah. So we were talking favorite childhood snack. Oh, and you were saying, let's just go from you were saying how your friendship was based upon.
Well, yeah, my friendship was based upon the fruit snacks.
The fruit snacks.
And that's why he would come into my house for the fruit snacks.
Yeah.
and I would go to his house because he had cable.
There you go.
Yeah, and I would watch it. Yeah. It was like, so I was like, all right, come do this.
Tradesies.
Yeah, let's okay, bring the fruit snacks with you, and I'll let you watch Rocco's Modern Life. That'll be the just like all I wanted.
That's like, a beautiful beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Exactly. Hell yeah, yeah. Where's that? We are still friends today.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's what my best friend, his dad worked for Keebler. So mm-hmm. It's like had all the Keebler cookies and all like
oh my god. Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
That's why I'm a chubby fella. Anyway. Let's see. Favorite food city.
Remember how earlier I said don't ask me questions about geography?
I'm not asking where the cities are.
I'm so not well traveled. Like I don't know, I would say let me think.
Hey, you're from Boston.
I'm from Boston.
Yeah.
I
got some fresh seafood down at the harbor.
They do. I like you know what? Well, I'll tell you an underrated food city I think is probably Fall River, Massachusetts.
Fall River, Massachusetts. Which
they have a lot, like they have Patty's Pierogies, which uh-huh. was on, I know they featured that on, I forget, some like, one of the Food Network channels
sure.
was there. And they're really good. And there are a couple, there's like a lot of like, is it Portuguese? I think there's a lot, I'm probably fucking that up. It's Portuguese. They're like a ton of, just like these little like mom and pop, like where they do their thing. And it's like, it's just really good food. It's
nice.
Like, it's like a crazy little, but it's like a, but if you want a good, Portuguese food / heroin, go to Fall River because yeah. they have both in abundance. And you wouldn't think, well, you'd probably think they would have the heroin, but you probably wouldn't think they also have good food here.
Is it like Western Mass?
No, this is like the South Shore.
Oh, South Shore.
That's where I kind of, yeah, it's like Bridgewater and then a little bit right. south of that. That's where I, that's my, that's my area. It's my neck of the woods.
What would be your last meal?
You know what's so funny? I just asked Jacqueline this, my roommate, before she left, because I was thinking about the podcast. I think I said soup. I think I said some sort of, I was like, because I can be whatever. I don't know. I think soup would do, maybe a soup.
maybe soup. Some crackers?
I don't know.
Do you want to just go to, like, Olive Garden Unlimited bread soup? Like breadsticks, soup, and salads.
I don't not want to do that. Yeah, so that's definitely an option. Last meal at the Olive Garden. It's probably been some people's last meals, not because they were on death row. They're just
no,
like,
it's because they ate Olive Garden.
Ate Olive Garden. Yeah.
Favorite cuisine.
Okay. I see. My indecision is so. I have such bad indecision.
Uh-huh.
If you want to hate a person, go buy beer with me, because I will. There's just too much.
Yeah.
There's too much, and I get over. I'm like, well, what do I want?
Yeah.
And do I really want to commit to something for six beers?
Yeah.
Do I want a whole? So that's why I love like the bodega downstairs. I can just grab.
Oh,
like,
you can make. Yeah.
I can like make my own six pack because I just
get some Lucy's.
Yeah, exactly. but I. My favorite cuisine, I mean, I do love Mexican, but it is basically the same thing in different variations.
Sure,
over and over again. But I do love Mexican. I really love, if I had to pick the soup, it would be probably like, there's a place in Bridgewater, which is not a good food area.
Okay.
But it's in West Bridgewater. It's one of the few places I love. It's called Crystal's Kitchen. And it's they have the best Vietnamese pho soup.
Oh,
it's
that, yeah.
So it's a duck noodle soup,
yeah.
And it's like holy shit! It's so Vietnamese.
Yeah,
it's so good. I don't know if I can pick one, but I do love Mexican. I can eat that pretty regularly.
There you go. Guilty pleasure food.
Guilty pleasure food. Yeah. Cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
Oh my god. Yeah, I'll make myself sick with cheesecake. I'll eat that until I don't feel well.
Favorite condiment?
Salt a condiment?
Salt a condiment.
Because I use a lot of salt.
Which sure, yeah.
Like
salt, yeah.
If not salt, then mustard. I'm big.
All right.
I used to like hot sauce. I was a big hot sauce guy for a while.
Yeah.
But then I turned 30, and now I just, like, looking at the bottle makes my, like, just my esophagus burned. It's really bad. There was a month where I was literally living off Tums. I was like, it's weird. What's going on? Like, yeah. What's my problem? I thought it was just from like lifting. I was like, oh, I'm like, after I lift, sometimes it like hurts. Yeah. And I didn't realize it was also after like a turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
I would also have problems.
What's the last thing you ate?
Last thing I ate?
We're drinking a beer right now.
I'm drinking a beer right now. I had, if anyone wants to know, we're well after 6 o'clock recording. It's definitely not 3:40 in the afternoon. Yeah. I had a ham, egg, and cheese, and onion on an everything bagel. That was the last thing
nice.
I ate. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Love a good everything bagel. Do you prefer to, you said you don't really cook, so I think I'll know the answer. Do you like eating in or going out to eat?
I love to go out, yeah. And I love to get food brought here.
Yeah.
Because it's like cooking, the problem with the way I eat is it's always, I'm not diabetic, but like, man, I get like, I don't know if I'm just like distracted and I forget, I don't notice that I'm hungry.
Sure.
But all of a sudden I go from like not... And then I have to eat, like I'm just yeah. like and so and I don't plan. I'm not like let me schedule out like this like I like yeah. that's the issue. Like my time management skills don't involve the ability to cook because there's no way I'm gonna be like
sure
like let me hang out in the kitchen for like it just that's not gonna happen.
yeah, not the same as because I enjoy to cook and then like I'll cook some extra and I'll put it in some Tupperware, put it in the fridge or whatever. But I'm the same way. Like I think time management wise, that one of my big like flaws is that I'm not someone like I never complain like I need to eat now, like oh I'm starving or whatever. Like I think also like since I'm a little bigger, I'm like a camel, I've got some pockets stored up and it starts like breaking it off from there. But then also I'll be like, oh, I didn't eat anything all, because I don't eat right when I get up. Like that's something I don't enjoy.
I'll have a glass of water, I'll have some coffee and all exactly like that. And I can go for a while, but yeah. Then all of a sudden I'll be like, I need to eat right fucking now, or I'm gonna pass out. Like yeah. I'm lightheaded. I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah. And then when that happens for me, then all of a sudden I'll just like eat three meals worth
yes,
in
correct.
Like a
yeah,
sitting.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is not good
for me. No.
It hurts my chest.
Yeah, I definitely like going. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely like going out to eat, but it's tough now because like now I'm trying to live as close to like poverty as I can so I can get up as frequently at different spots and stuff. And it's just like, so I'm like, do I really want to eat that? Or do I, it's like, oh, I have to like, no, I'm, this is kind of why I did the shepherd's pie. I'm like, maybe I need to now start like actually cooking.
Sure.
So
yeah,
that I
yeah.
can afford to be poor.
what's your preferred like theater snack? You going to the movies? What are we getting?
Ooh, again, I like the dichotomy of the salt and the sweet. So if I can get, I think the last time I went to I saw Vice, but we didn't eat anything at Vice. But the movie before that I saw Alien, the original Alien mm-hmm. in theaters.
Cool.
They played it at some. It's off of McDougal Street. I don't know the name of it.
IFC.
It's like
on 6th.
Maybe it's like right where it's like West 4th, whatever.
Yeah, the IFC.
Yeah. So we went and I saw that and we had a pop salt buttered popcorn mm-hmm. and then I had what are the little kids, Sour Patch Kids. And that was like that
nice.
Was
yep.
I was like, whoa,
that's perfect.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I love like the snow caps. Those are.
Oh, do you like those? Yeah, yeah.
I like those. Okay. And then I like and then popcorn and like mm-hmm. I know some people that get M&Ms and. Then, because M&M's don't melt, and so then they dump it into
in
the popcorn.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like a trail mix of sorts. Like you're just getting that, but yeah, so
madness.
It works. what would be your spirit food? So I know soup is your favorite, but what food when you think of like food and like
I'm gonna stop you right now. Soup. The answer is soup.
Is it just soup?
No. Keep going.
No. What? So what? You know, like. What food best encompasses your personality? So you said you're a bit of an introvert.
Yeah, yeah. What food best encompasses my personality?
You're a funny guy.
I like to think so. I'm going to say soup, but I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to have a real answer for you.
All right.
Because I think like it's if there was a reflection in if Super's is a reflection of who I am, it's because there's so much variation to it. So you don't like it. I like to have a lot of different inputs and like different way. Like sure. I'm curious. So I like that it's the same thing. Soup is the thing, but it can be the variation on it is high. That's why soup is.
I like to think because my
material. I don't really have like a particular like angle. I like to think about all different kinds of things and just sort of incorporate that in.
Now you can get into like food humor and stuff.
So that's what I'm gonna put in my bio now. My comedy bio is Stephen Fred, the soup of comedy.
and last question: what's the greatest lesson you've learned in food?
The greatest lesson I've learned in food.
Yeah. So.
the greatest lesson I've learned in food. I'm trying to think of.
Maybe you haven't learned one.
Well, okay. I'm thinking of two important lessons from food, and they're either. I'm trying to think of a time I've almost burnt something down.
Okay. Which would be interesting. That hasn't been brought up yet.
Which would be focus.
Yeah.
Like you need to be a little less distracted. So that would be a lesson from food.
Yeah.
And the other one is I'm trying to think if there's a lesson in we had this. I was living on Martha's Vineyard at the time. This is less food and more waste of food, which is responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. Here's a response because I was living on Martha's Vineyard for a summer underneath a wounded cat shelter in the basement of a. It was not a great. I was on Martha's Vineyard, and it was below these people's house.
Yes.
But their house was also like a wounded animal shelter. But I only ever saw cats. So every morning and night, I would walk in. There would just be these one-eyed, smelly cats looking at me. And so we lived under there. And it's like the beautiful sunny summer island, and we had like no windows in the subterranean. I also wasn't 21, so we couldn't go out and drink and have fun.
All right.
And so we're underneath that thing, and one of my roommates was just a train wreck of a human being that year. He's a good guy, but he was just a drunk, and he was just a drunk pothead, and he couldn't get his shit together. And he would also leave the island frequently, so he was less attached to the cleanliness and like what was going on in the house,
sure,
or the basement cat shelter. And so he two things he did with food. One was he dropped an entire jar of jam on the ground, broke the jar of jam in the middle of the kitchen / living room, and just left it there. And so there's broken glass and just jam on the ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, out of protest, like, I'm not picking up after you.
Yeah.
You pick up your shit. But then he wouldn't. And our paths never crossed to like have a confrontation. So it just was there. And eventually, of course, flies began to, congregate on it. And so it was just, we just lived in a basement of just, so what happened was around the same time he left, and it may have been him and the other roommate. They took, I think it was my roommate, the comic Tilson, John Tilson, mm-hmm. that we lived with him on the island for a while. And he and the kid who dropped the jam was his cousin.
Okay.
So they both left the island at the same time.
Yeah.
So we get jam on the ground, and they didn't take out the trash. We had like a massive amount of trash, and like, we take it out. So they stuck it in the closet. They put it in the. They just threw it there. I'm sure I'm glossing over some circumstances of how it got. But let's just say that it's in the closet, and I'm like, something fucking smells horrific, and I'm noticing and I open it up, and I'm like, oh. And so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna bring this out, and I put it down. And I come back, and I can hear a noise. And I don't know what it is, and there are now maggots everywhere, and flies are just like, and so the point is response was food taught me responsibility, which is just clean up after other people, even if
because
you don't want to live in a
basement under
it's tough. Do you teach a person a lesson like now you, but they left too frequently for it to really ruin their life. So I just would sit there like. If there's a problem, take care of it, I guess, is what the regardless of if it's your fault.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were a couple of good lessons right there. I'm into it. Well, Steven, thank you so much for coming.
By the way,
when
you're leaving, don't look in the closets. Yeah, just stay out of.
No, I would say there's a fine odor in your abode.
I'm not gonna lie. We cleaned for you coming. That was the minus the dying Christmas tree in the background.
That's well, 'tis the season.
Probably need to take that to the corner.
Thank you for coming on Foodie Films. Please now tell everyone, your whatever you want to share.
Plug away. I would say so. Let me cough into the mic. If you want to follow me on Twitter or Instagram, it's at the Stephen Pratt.
Any relation to Chris?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay.
Be a great in.
We talk all the time. I'll call him. We'll find out. I'll let you know.
Just say, in the industry, that's called an in.
Yeah, that's okay. Cool.
And so.
No relation I'm aware of, but he. I know we look so much alike that we're both. I know I'm 5'7" and he's a 6'3" and blonde and beautiful.
Just a beefcake.
Just a beefcake of a man. he's just the Aryan race. He's a slightly Jewy looking man. so if you want to follow me on there, Twitter, Instagram, at the Stephen Pratt. I get up pretty frequently at the Grizzly Pear on McDougal Street, 107 McDougal Street. I'm there all the time. I think I'm going to be there maybe either this Tuesday or next Tuesday, depending on the stairs, at 10 o'clock. And I do a lot of the 6 o'clock shows over there. So just all around. I tweet my shows frequently, if that's probably the best way to find out where I'm going to be.
Cool.
And hopefully I got a podcast coming out soon.
Nice. We'll definitely share that once you...
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Once you start it up.
Fuck yeah, man.
And Steven spelled with a PH.
PH, the fancy way.
The fancy way.
Yeah, the incognito.
You're a fancy man. Well, again, thank you so much. Every episode, we have a little catchphrase. It's there's more to cut, so if you can just remind the foodie fans out there that there's more to cut.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's more to cut.
Listen to that voice.
Bam.
Go see it in person. Go listen to it in person.
go
the Grizzly Pear.
See my voice in person, guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't, when you go there, then you can close your eyes. And
I promise I'm very handsome. So come on out. Enjoy the visuals, too. They're good.
Thank you again.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy. And I feel like I'm loving you. Love you such a sweet